Holy cow, it's time for another Sacred Cow Barbecue. Grab a plate if you're hungry for some truth. We're here to free our minds from our collective BS, our belief systems programmed into us through a lifetime of indoctrination by school, church, and media. No subjects off limits. Why? Because it's all connected. Stay tuned. Hey, good evening, and welcome to another Sacred Cow Barbecue. It's Thursday, November 5th. Remember the 5th of November. I'm Patricia Aiken, an average host with exceptional guests. And the exceptional guest I'm hoping is going to be here tonight, seems to be running a little late, is Clint Richardson from the Corporation Nation. His radio show is on RBN, and we'll give you all his website and blog information. He's done some pretty fascinating research down to bedrock, I tell you, and he promised to bring some special barbecue sauce tonight. I think it's the secret sauce, and we'll be talking about the secrets of the founders and the government, some of which are hidden in plain sight. So hopefully he'll be along pretty soon. But in the meantime, I want to share some things. You know, I always feel like patriotic Americans especially, that we all have patriot autism spectrum disorder. You know, I put the Fox News watchers on one end of the spectrum where they argue about Democrat and Republican, you know, and they think that's going to make a difference. Who you send to the White House is going to make a difference, when no, the whole thing is just completely broken. And then there's, you know, finally, middle of the spectrum, there's some other people with a little more awareness, people that know that the news is complete rubbish and things like that. And then you get the state citizens and American nationals. They're probably more the Asperger's people, a little more higher functioning. But I think we've still got all autism. We've got some missing information that we need to get our heads around. And it's hard to focus on, hard to wrap it around, because we have so many untrue beliefs that have been programmed into us. And that's why we call this Sacred Cow Barbecue. I want to, because we slaughter those. As soon as we find them, we find one, we kill it, put it on the grill. So I want to share a few things. Michelle Johnson, Shelley Johnson from Our Talk, Our Natural Rights on All Talk Radio, she just sent me this. She says, this is her signature: nothing in the world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Agreed. Governments do not operate in the way you think they do. Agreed. Banks do not do what you think they do. That's true, too. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Yep. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does. Knowledge is power, and this is why so many people in America especially feel powerless, because they have no knowledge. And I think this is I was looking at Clint's website earlier, and he got a great question. I got to scroll back up here. Pardon me while I find this, because it was great. It was all about knowledge. There we go. The lack of knowledge. Lack of historical knowledge. Yeah, let's hold on. There's more to this here. Hold on. I'm going to get it. Dun, dun. Man, this is a huge article. His blog, realityblogger.wordpress.com, and it's not blogger with two G's. It's blogger with one G. And so it's pretty interesting, and he's got all kinds of stuff here. And hopefully he'll show up here in a little while and tell us about it. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. So obviously, if you're feeling enslaved in Marxist America, it's because we don't have the right knowledge to get out of our slavery. And when we do, we'll be free. That was by Frederick Douglass. And here's a great one. This is pretty cool. Entertainment. Entertainment is derived from its Latin origins to enter and hold, that's the tain, hold is tain, the mind. That's right, to enter and hold the mind. And government, we all know, comes from the meaning to control the mind. So entertainment and government go right together. We're being entertained to control our minds by the government. Uh-huh. War in old times were made to get slaves. The modern implement of imposing slavery is debt. That was Ezra Pound, and he knew a few things about how the world worked. Matter of fact, Roosevelt kept him in St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital for the duration of World War II because of what he knew about things going on. Oh, stuck in traffic. That's a good enough excuse. Well, hold on here. We're gonna bring Clint in. Hold on. And so you'll have to have a little dialing thing, and that's all right. We'll just edit this out later. Hey, Clint, you missed a great introduction.
I apologize. You know, turning into a massive Agenda 21 city, and so we now have all this traffic and construction and stuff. Sorry,
oh, my gosh. My whole road is tore up. When I think of Las Vegas, I think of orange cones. Where are you at? Are you up in Salt Lake by any chance?
Yeah, I'm at the lower end of the county, you know, far away from the actual city. But yeah, the orange cones are like the state flower now.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to, when I lived on Maui, we used to say the building crane was the state bird.
Exactly.
Exactly. Hey, listen, you promised to bring the sauce, and I told everyone you're bringing the secret sauce because we've got a lot of secrets to talk about here. And I was just talking about my friend Shelley Johnson. Sent me an email. Well, something that she puts on her email is, hold on, I got to get back to where I left that. You'll have to excuse me as I click away here. Pardon me, those are impossible to. She says, nothing in the world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it does. Nothing in the world works the way you think it does. Knowledge is power, and this is why so many people in America especially feel powerless, because they have no knowledge. In your, I was just reading your art, Cracking the Cult of the Constitution, because that's a subject that I'm looking into, and one of the quotes was, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave.
Well, yeah, and that was said by Frederick Douglass, who was a black man.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. So, and then we talked about that entertainment, and I was just reading your thing, government to control the mind and stuff. So let's go. So I believe the Constitution is the con and Constitution is there for a reason.
Well, again, you know, so what it turns out to be, the big secret, why are things secret? That's the question. And it turns out it's just the language.
Right.
We have, I mean, it's actually quite simple. It just took me forever to figure it out. You know, it took me so long to get here to where I can actually see the design.
And where'd you get here from? Like, how did you start out? How did you start looking at this? What woke you up?
Oh. Well, you know, I mean, I could go back a long way. I suppose I lived in Manhattan on 11th Street, and they closed Manhattan from 14th Street.
Lower Manhattan.
So I got to see firsthand everything that was happening, and unfortunately I didn't see the planes actually hit, but I did see the towers fall. And I got to see firsthand what was actually happening. The city closed. No phone service for your cell phones. We got into line at the store. We thought we'd better get some food. And, you know, the store was running out of food quick. We grabbed what we could and got into a line that was wrapped all the way around the store and down one aisle. And like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we finally checked out. And there was nothing left in any of the stores anywhere. And no deliveries coming in, so we're like stuck in this sort of prison for a little while. You know, you have these armies there with their guns and submachine guns, listening to the news, seeing how when it first happened, you know, there was really interesting speculations going on. And then all of a sudden, everybody had the same story. And I'm like, something's so wrong here. You know, people were showing up to our door covered in white dust, asking if they could use our shower, that kind of thing. So it was a very – I could say I was there, I guess is the point. And it was a very, very unique experience. And it really made me sort of question, you know, just about everything from that point on. And I suppose that was the first aspect of it. I moved to Hollywood, became a sound designer, sound editor, was working on the top video games and movies and everything, and figured out that propaganda real quick. Was watching, you know, as some of these writers would have to change their scripts to include certain propagandist lines like, whoo, glad Homeland Security was there to protect us, that kind of thing. You know, things they'd never actually write in a script.
And Jack Bauer was there to save the day.
Right. So, you know, it was just kind of one thing after the other. I went through identity theft, which taught me about the whole the whole world of credit and how horrible it is, and how the credit company card the credit score companies are there to really screw you and cause you to get a higher interest rate, and they're not really interested in helping you. They're just the whole thing is just it's just a scam. It's just a joke. It's like a rat running through a maze, basically. I mean, for God's sake, who in their right mind would give a crap about their credit score, you know? And it's just, especially when you figure out what it actually means, you know? So I, and things just kept going on, and I finally quit my career in Hollywood. I couldn't be there anymore. It's satanic, literally. All the bosses were, you know, it's a Jewish place. It's a Jewish run corporation, basically. And that influence really shows. And so I quit and I became a full-time activist in about 2008. And started making movies because I had the skills, made The Corporation Nation after meeting Walter Burian, helped him make a movie. And it's just kind of gone from there. It's just been a not-for-profit journey of learning. And, you know, 12 years or so later, here I am.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite the journey, starting with 9/11 woke a lot of people up. I was semi-awake before that. I knew something was up with that. But I feel like I'm on the autism spectrum disorder. You know, patriots, you know, people concerned about America. You have people that are Fox News people, as I said earlier, and they're arguing about Democrat, Republican still. And then you got people that maybe move along and talk about 9/11 and how the, you know the Zionist control of the world and greater Israel and, you know, the Jewish domination and all that, you know, the Masonic thing. And then you get up to people that are more into understanding that the Constitution isn't what we think it is and isn't who we think it's for. And they kind of get the Asperger's people there, a little higher functioning. But I still feel like I've got autism. I still don't understand it all. So,
yeah, well, you're not meant to. You see, it's not like it's not as if you're, you know, the common citizenship is supposed to understand their plight. You know, that it's like you said, you know, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. We're literally, the hardest part for me was to understand something called volunteerism.
Right.
One of those sort of groups like you're talking about are the volunteerists or the anarchists who want to live in a voluntary society, and they have no idea they already live in a voluntary society, which we call citizenship.
Just quit volunteering.
Right. I mean, it's, of course, a lot more difficult than it sounds, or at least to learn how to do it. But, you know, volunteerism, so let me just put it to you this way. Whatever you think, whatever your personal opinion is, whatever your morals, whatever your moral rectitude, whatever your religion, whatever you believe, check it, because it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do anything but what you are contracted to do in citizenship. Okay, when you are a citizen of the United States, that means you are a subject of the sovereignty. You pledge your allegiance to the sovereignty. You participate in a corporate franchise, which we call freedom. The word free actually means franchise. So when we set slaves free, we're at liberty.
Okay.
Right. See, all these words, they have a specific meaning in law. We call different aspects or art. So we have the medical profession, and the medical profession has its own terms. We call those terms of art. The legal profession or government or law has its own terms.
And they're not like standard English words.
Right.
When the doctor says it's negative, that's actually a good thing.
Well, in law, negative is actually a good thing and positive is a bad thing. you would say that the Constitution, for instance, gives negative rights or negative liberties, meaning that it says what the government can't do, not what it can. So natural law, the law of God, if you will, would be considered a negative law. So what we've been trained to do is we say, well, I have rights. You know, anybody who actually believes that the Constitution gives them rights is probably the biggest fool in the world. And I was one of those fools. So everything I talk about tonight is going to be based on the fact that I was there, too. I was in that crowd, a maddening crowd that believed certain things that are self-evidently not true. One of those things is that, one, I'm a party to the Constitution, that the Constitution was made for me, and that I'm part of the sovereignty. Well, no, that's absolutely untrue. And
okay, let's pretend that nobody's heard this before.
Okay.
And let's break it down.
Okay, so first,
you're going to talk about strongmen. So pretend I'm in fifth grade and talk to me about this.
All right. Well, so the first thing we have to know is that basically we're in a feudal state. The old feudal system, the system of pledging, which is an ancient system, has been around for a long time. What they did was they changed the language.
Right.
The feudal system is federal. Right. The 14th Amendment is essentially the establishment of a feudal ship, a feudal citizenship, right? There's a difference between a citizen and a citizenship. So the first thing we have to understand is language and how important language is. And like I said, every you know, if I'm a botanist, I have certain terms that I use. They're called terms of art. If I'm a lawyer or a judge or a politician, I have certain terms, legal terms. They're terms of art. Art means artifice, mm-hmm. Artificial, okay? So what they've done is they've taken the Latin language, which they still use. So every word you say, you need to know the Latin origin. And what they did is they created a new language called English. And if you look in Black's Law, 4th edition, you'll find a definition for dog Latin.
Oh.
Okay?
I'm taking notes.
Now, dog Latin is a very simple thing. It says the Latin of illiterate persons. Okay, so dog Latin is the Latin of illiterate persons, which are Latin words put together on the English grammatical system.
Okay.
Okay, so in other words, the English language is the language of illiterate persons.
Well, they do. It's all in the language. It's all in the words. It's all in the spells.
Right. So you can be a PhD, you can tell me that you're a professor of this and a professor of that, and I can call you a complete idiot. I call myself a complete idiot. I call everybody a complete illiterate because that's what the language is. That's why they teach us English, because that way they can still make us say Latin words in law while we think we're saying something else.
So we get to practice their religion.
Right. So no matter how smart you get, no matter how much knowledge you obtain in the English language, unless you understand the meanings of those words in the original Latin, not etymology, keep that in mind. Etymology is very important, but the term of art. So if I'm a doctor, imagine being a doctor and having a nurse that doesn't know all the medical terms. I ask for a scalpel. The nurse says, well, okay, that must be scissors, right? I ask for this. Those are terms of art. If that nurse and that doctor can't speak the same language, they're not going to be able to communicate. Well, okay, so if I'm in court and I'm talking English and I think I'm communicating with the judge in an emotionally, you know, real way, but the judge is speaking a different language that sounds exactly the same as our English language, but to him, he's taken those words as their actual Latin legalistic meaning. Well, then everything I say, he can say, well, you just said the opposite of what you think you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why we get in trouble. That's why we're constantly.
Con.
Yeah, we're confused. We don't understand things. We can't figure things out. We certainly can't figure out the Constitution, although we think we know it, because we speak English, right? And it's written in English, isn't it? Well, no, it's written in dog Latin. And it has each word in there has a specific meaning. Now, dog refers to, you got to understand, I guess the hard part, Patricia, is to stop, is to put yourself out of your own, have an out-of-body experience and put yourself in the shoes of your enemy. Put yourself in the shoes of your slave master and say, well, what does he think? How does he look at me? Because he looks at me as nothing but cattle, human capital under human capital management. Capital comes from the word capita, which is head. So right. We're counted by the head, just like cattle. All right?
Goyim. You're the goyim.
Exactly. And that's important because the word nation actually means goyim. It means if you're a person of the nation, it means you're literally born in the nation, which means you're a goyim. So when you hear the word people, and you're referring to all of us common massive illiterates out here, you're really saying goyim.
Well, you know, okay? there's a different point of view on that. And I don't know if I should even bring it up and muddy the waters here because, see, certain people feel like that word, you know, goyim, goy in nation, is what the Jews have done to destroy our true identity as Caucasians.
Well, I'll cure that for you because okay, what you have to understand mm-hmm. is that Israel is a state or, if you will, a nation. Okay?
Now, I don't believe that. I believe Israel
right,
is a people.
But you have, yeah, exactly. You have to understand what that means. You see, what they did, okay, it's kind of hard to explain, but a true follower of Christ, which we would call a Christian, although Christian isn't really in the Bible except as a derogatory term, but if you're following in the path of Christ, which means you're literally following that law of God or what people like to call the natural law, mm-hmm. Then you're not participating in any nation. You're not participating in citizenship. You're not participating. You take no oaths because the Bible instructs you not to.
Right.
You're doing nothing that we would do in our everyday lives. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start reading and understanding what it means to be a Christian or a Jew, you find that they are nationless. They are not part of a people, but I'm talking about a common people. Okay. The common people are the goyim, not the private or sovereign people who found the nation and bestow it to their posterity or their bloodline, their genealogy. No, we're talking about the Jews over in Israel, those who are often paid to come over there and settle. Okay, they're settling into a nation. They are no longer Jews. Okay, just like the Christians who are going to churches, which are corporations in the United States, those churches are not religions in the sense of the natural world or under God. They are corporate religions that are under the power of the state.
Yeah, the priestcraft. But, you know, I still think, I don't think Israel is Israel. You know, I think that Israel, the real Israel of the
sure.
Old Testament, are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are not the Jews.
Well,
not,
right.
Not
it's talking, that's mafia. Talking. That's talking about Israelites, not as a corporation. It's
right.
Not talking about a league.
Is the 12?
But
the
see
12
what
real
but you got to understand. You got to understand that the Jews that are going over to Israel are being tricked, just like all of us. They're giving up their because you know they say that that the Jews always had no nation. They had no state. They were they called them international Jews, right?
Right. But they
right.
do
well,
have
there's
a
reason for that. No, but you got to understand, you got to listen, because we're talking about language here, remember.
Okay.
We can't confuse terms. The whole purpose of being a religious man, whether you're Jew or Christian, okay, is that you are private. You have no affiliation with any state or nation.
Mm-hmm.
You are not taking a mark, a name, a number, and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
That is what a Jew and a Christian actually is. That's why Jews had no quote-unquote nation or state. It's why they were everywhere, because they were a religious people. And the beautiful thing about that is you have to, again, separate the term religious from the term religion, because a religion is an organization, a corporation, association. But a religious man is one without a membership in anything like that. You're individual. You're private. You're not a part of any of that type of legal or corporate thing.
Well, the Bible, that's why the Bible tells people to come out from her.
Right, right, right. And so what they've done is they've set up a legal state, or if you will, a nation, and they've literally turned Jews into goyim. So they're not practicing as Jews. Most Jews will tell you they're atheists. They're not interested in religion or God. They're Jewish because they get benefits.
Yeah, they worship themselves and they get to be able to cry anti-Semite when anybody complains about it.
Yeah, the ancient trick, yes. But the point is, they have been duped just like all of us who call ourselves Christian. Because a Christian, when you're pronouncing something publicly, then you can only do it publicly or artificially. You're not being private. You're literally doing so within what is against the Bible, what is against the Torah, right? You're literally going against the very foundation principles of the Bible and the principles of law too, and you're becoming something that is in name only, like legally in name only. You've got hundreds of millions of people claiming to be Christian that are not, because...
And I'm not even sure about the Christian thing anymore. I used to be a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God. I was a missionary and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not even sure that Christ really existed.
Well, it doesn't matter. You see, this is a very difficult subject for a lot of people, because most people say, well, they're trying to push the Bible as a history, right?
Now, well, even if it's just a mythology...
Well, here's the hard part.
Okay, go ahead.
The hard part is to define terms. Now,
right.
They say you must believe in Christ, right?
Have eternal life.
Right, right. And again, eternal doesn't mean some afterlife. We're never talking about anything but this life, okay? That's the important part. Heaven is on earth as hell is on earth. We're all in hell. We're all in a debtor's hell. If you look at Black's Law again, hell is defined as the prison, the for debtors underneath the executure, which the prison, basically. Okay, that's what hell is. It's always been that. What was I going to say? Sorry. So as far as Christ, crap. I'm sorry.
Okay, this is my gripe with the church, with the Christian thing. You know, I feel like we all have eternal life. I mean, anybody could check out near-death experiences and things. People, you know, say, oh, I was more alive than ever. Mm. And they really felt like they'd been here bunches of times before. So it does seem like life is eternal and Christ couldn't give us something that we already had. You know, so it's to me, religion is just the priestcraft trying to control the minds of the people and get them to behave here under them so they can promise them something in the sweet by and by.
Yeah, well, again, there's so much more to these words.
Okay.
See, we're going by we think that the word eternal is what happens after we die, physically die and pass from this earth. That's not what it means in the Bible. Again, you have to go through every word in the Bible, go to the concordances and check what each word means. Now, eternal, I like to use Webster's 1828 dictionary. You can find it online. Mm-hmm. Eternal, it means without beginning or end of existence, okay? Mm-hmm. Unchangeable, existing at all times without change, eternal truth, a lot of different aspects to that. But what that's really talking about, again, is we have... We're talking about life and death. When we're talking about life and death in legal,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about the creation of a legal entity at birth, a birth certificate or naturalization, right?
Right.
The word natural doesn't mean the same thing as it does in nature, okay? So natural actually means illegitimate or bastard, okay? That's what a natural person is. So a person is only the status of a man. It's never the man.
Right.
Man can be male or female. Okay. So when we're talking about having eternal life, that's saying life without fiction. Okay, the Bible is only the story of the fall of man into fiction. The fall of man from his spiritual life into a fictional representation and appearance in a legal form.
All rise.
So if you grasp that concept, then everything starts making sense. You start reading that, you know, every time you see the word God or Lord in the Bible, you'll see that it's always pointing to a different word in the concordances. One is Theos, one is Elohim, one is
Jehovah Jireh,
Jehovah,
one is Jehovah, right. Is it Canoe? One is, you know, there's lots of them.
Right, but it's always the word God or the word Lord. And so when you see who actually, when the Bible in the book that's called modernly Genesis but originally had no name,
mm-hmm.
okay, when you see who created the earth, you read that first passage in Genesis, and it says the gods, plural,
absolutely.
Elohim.
Elohim is plural, absolutely.
Right, right. Well, so then we have to start defining God.
Let us make man in our image.
Right, right. So who are the gods? That's the big question.
Clint, you don't know. I mean, we've been... Enlil and Enki? Is it something?
Oh, no.
Go, okay.
Don't ever go away from being grounded in reality, okay? Don't ever go into any of the mythologies. You don't need to. It turns out that all of these words, the word werewolf, the word vampire, the word, all these different mythological creatures that the church and the state, even the word devil and Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan only means to be adversarial. Mm-hmm. Devil is, or demon, is an evil genius, a man that's an evil genius that tricks you into doing things.
All right, I call them devils in shoe leather.
There you go. So
wait a minute.
Don't ever get off track.
Don't tease me. You don't run down a rabbit trail if we're not going to go here. What's the werewolf thing?
And
vampire. They've taken over television.
Okay. So where? Very interesting history. Imagine back in the day when you tried to put fear into people. Werewolf means man. Were means man.
Mm-hmm.
And wolf means wolf, okay? Now remember we said dog Latin?
Yes.
And dog means, it's a name of reproach for man. It's what they call us because we're basically four-footed beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We carry the mark of the beast. We are the beasts. It's not like the beast is some, you know, again, some mythical church-created fiction. No, we are the beasts. We are the burdened beasts. And the reason they call us dogs is because dogs, first of all, are four-footed. When you look up the word four-footed, you'll see that that's also a name of reproach for man who has been turned into a slave like we have.
Yeah, we say.
Yeah, well, they say it too. But they really mean four-footed. And that goes back again to beast or beast of burden. And the notion of werewolf, man with the head of a wolf, the reason they would use that term is because that's what they'd call outlaws. Those who are no longer part of the society, they were outside of the society, and they called them werewolves, and they created these fictional stories about it. But were only means man, and the reason they say that is because a dog is domesticated. It's tamed. It's trained. It's something that sleeps at night, and the master feeds it. But a wolf hunts at night. A wolf is not tame. A wolf is wild. A wild animal. Ah, see, there's another word, animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what could animal mean? Why do they call us dogs and animals and all these words? Well, why in U.S. code do they refer to man as an animal? Well,
it has to be something about animation somewhere in there.
You'd think, but anima is the Latin term for soul.
Mm.
When you add the word A-L, or just put an L on the end of something, it takes away whatever that word is. So animal means soulless.
Oh, isn't that fascinating?
Right. Well, so you're talking about a werewolf as a wild beast, one who is not part or regenerate or, you know, part of the religious city or whatever it is. religion has always played a very important role in any society, no matter what type of what type of government it is. You got to know who your gods are. Okay, so a man of God, according to the Bible, which one being walking in the footsteps of Christ, following the natural law, well, you're a man of God. But we are men of the state. I'll put it to you this way. You notice that when a natural disaster happens, like when you're trying to claim something on insurance, perhaps, mm-hmm. and a flood happens,
act of God,
earthquake, they call it an act of God, don't they? Right. Well, that tells you right there that government recognizes the superiority, the higher power of, quote unquote, the supreme being, God, whatever, the God of nature, right? So the question becomes, what are you an act of? Are you an act of God, or are you an act of the state? Well, your birth certificate says you're an act of the state.
Right.
Your signature says you're acting in the state, therefore you're an act of the state. Your deeds, your titles, your flattering titles, your numbers, everything that you do is in the state. And therefore, you're not acting religiously. You're not acting in nature, and you're not acting under God. So who are your gods then? So this goes to the word magistrate.
Oh.
Okay. So we have to understand that until very recently, if you or I would have gone to a court of chancery or any of the other courts, the judge was referred to as God, as magistrate.
Well, that's why the lawyers bow to him in the morning.
They do bow to him. And also, the word pray was used instead of the word plea or plead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we used to pray to God. We still do. And so, you know, some lawyers, some attorneys still actually use the word pray. And often, you'll see the word God. You'll see this in there. So you have to know that the word magistrate refers to kings, popes, governors, mayors, and judges. So those are your gods.
Right.
Okay. So again, if you're either acting, okay, it doesn't, your belief, oh, that's what I forgot to say. Your belief doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe means absolutely jack crap.
Nope.
Your actions are the only thing that matters. You could say anything you want, but if your actions are not according to your words, and hey, let's face it, how can our actions possibly be according to our words if we're speaking dog Latin?
Right.
So here,
nonsense.
So here's the next most important thing in my book, and that is the word believe or belief. Now, amazingly, we hear it all the time. You have to believe that Christ was this. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in the law. You have to believe in the covenant, etc.
He rose from the dead and died on the third, right. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
know,
yeah, I mean, that's, again, that is, it is very safe to say that the entire Bible is a figurative or metaphorical, a fable, a parable. Okay, the word Psalms actually, when translated, means parables. Okay,
I see some of this, Clint, but I also see there's a lot of history in the Bible, and it's borne out by the archaeology.
Well, sure, but if I write a fictional book and I'm very, very articulate as to history, is it a history book or am I trying to get a message across?
Yeah, okay.
Are we concerned
are
we concerned with the history, or should we be concerned with the law that's being laid?
Well, I think the history is really important. I mean, because it's been hidden from us. It's been you know, we've been dumbed down about it. It's not being taught that churches are so heavily infiltrated. You know, most churches aren't teaching the truth that's in the Bible.
No, because churches are not religions. They are corporations under the state.
Right.
The whole point of being religious is to be above the state. When you look up the definition of a religious man, it is one who has abjured the realm, who has gone outside, who is no longer a participant. A monk who joins a monastery is a religious man. There is no legal law that can affect him. He has sanctuary. He is no longer a part. A church is a 501c3 corporation,
right,
that obeys the precepts and doctrines of its own organization. And what does the Bible say? Don't accept anything but this, right? This writing. So again, you know, the history, yeah, is the history important? Absolutely. Is it possible to tell what is history in the Bible? Absolutely not. Dead Sea Scrolls, absolute fake. Most of the coins that are found to prove history, absolute fraud. Absolutely fake.
I know, I've gone to the British Museum and seen engravings, you know, the Battle of Lachish is very, you know, big thing at the British Museum. I went specifically to see it. And there's this other, you know, it's set in stone, the Behistun Rock, showing the Israelites being taken into captivity by the Assyrians. I mean, they celebrated all that.
Yeah. Well, again, all I can say is that if you're paying attention to the history and you're trying to use the history to prove something, most people use the history to prove that they are more important than someone else. They are, you know, only entitled to something. But that's not what the Bible says.
No. I don't want to get sidetracked. But speaking of sidetrack, I've got to do my host duties for a moment.
Okay.
And say that you're listening to Sacred Cow Barbecue, and I'm really excited to be talking to Clint Richardson from the Corporation Nation tonight. And he said he'd bring the sauce, man. This is the secret sauce, and it's going to take us a while to wrap our heads around it. I hope we can get a grasp on this tonight, because you're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. We are listener and volunteer supported here, so I just want to encourage everyone to make a donation. Run over to freedomslips.com, get the archives, heck, buy something on the banner page that's cool stuff. Do something to support the station. You know, if everybody would just throw in a couple bucks every month, we wouldn't make these little announcements. We could just keep talking with our guests. So it doesn't take, we've got a lot of listeners, a little bit from everybody, instead of just a few people that support the station, would go a long way. So, you know, skip your Starbucks or whatever and throw some money at us sometime. We'd appreciate it. All right, Clint, back to you. My head is exploding. And I know a lot of these concepts. So where are we going with this? Where is this going to take us?
So, again, what they've done is they've put you into a situation. Citizenship and membership are the same words, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, well, you know, if we want to seek some form of religion. So we go to a church. We sit down. We get on our knees. And we go through ceremonies, which the Bible tells you not to do. Mm-hmm. We say the Lord's Prayer in chants and in groups, which the Bible specifically tells you that when you say the Lord's Prayer, you should go into a closet and not do it in front of other people, that would be a blasphemy.
And we're not to pray repetitiously.
Exactly. You're not supposed to chant. You're not supposed to do everything
let's not do the rosary.
Everything we do, which is some sort of ceremony, is against the Bible. I'm telling you, oath, everything. Bible says don't take an oath. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right? So here's the important part. The word belief.
Okay.
Why do they say you must believe in Christ? Well, what happens when we define the word? Well, okay. Leaf or leave, those words, when you look them up, and you can look them up in Webster's 1828, they mean love.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when we say that we believe in something, we actually mean that we're in love with something.
Oh, that's fascinating.
That means that you're acting in love according to whatever the next word. If I believe in Christ, then I'm actually acting in the path that was set, the law that was set according to Christ. I'm not sitting there in a church praying to some unknown thing. I am actually out there acting according to what Christ teaches. Now, whether Christ is a real character or not, if you get stuck on that, you're never gonna get anywhere. Okay
so let's go back. So I want to know who the Father is. I want to know who the Elohim are. I want to know who the Creator is. I want to know who wound this thing up and put it in motion.
Let's see if I can pull this up.
Can you do that? I'm going to give you 5 minutes to kind of answer the keys to the mystery of the universe here. And then we're going to take a break and come back and see if we need to unwind this some more. So,
well, you know, again, think of it this way, Patricia. Every word has a dualistic meaning.
I agree. Okay?
So when we have God, which is a term of nature, we have God, which is a term of legalism. Okay? Again, a president, a pope, whatever.
Right.
Whatever it is that we worship falsely is a god. Whatever we give our fealty to or we pledge allegiance to, that is our god. We pledge allegiance to the people, which means that we are not the people.
Yeah.
Right? People, you got to pay attention to the words in the Constitution. People is capitalized, which means it's a proper noun, which means it refers to only specific people. And you find out who those people are, and I'll break down the whole agency thing and what the Constitution actually says. But basically, the Constitution was a compact or a covenant, which is just a contract between two or more people, and that's the same definition as a conspiracy. You want to know why there's no conspiracies in government? Because government is the conspiracy, so it's not creating any conspiracies. It's already a conspiracy. So it's never going. The king is never going to blame himself for a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
The king is in conspiracy against all others. The United States was created as a confederation. Another word for confederation is combination. Another word for combination is conspiracy. Right?
Well, so, the Articles of Confederation.
Confederation means conspiracy.
I understand that. Yep, they're Confederates. I know we're in conspiracy. But was there... I felt like the Articles of Confederation were a much better situation than the Constitution.
Well, think of it this way.
Okay.
They call it a Christian nation, right?
Well, yeah, but that we know that's not true. I mean, you look around Washington,
but it is
it's
true.
All these Masonic symbols.
Sure, but that's the problem. It is true. You know what the word Christian refers to?
Go ahead.
Roman paganism.
Oh,
who created the term Christian?
The Romans when they were
right. Well, what were the Christians doing? They were sitting in the Colosseum.
They would get eaten by lions.
No. The Christians, because Rome couldn't control the people who were actually following and acting in Christ, who were loving, you know, acting in love, believing, in other words, in Christ. They were actually following the path. They couldn't be controlled. They wouldn't subject themselves to any of Rome's or Caesar's taxation. Taxation means to be registered.
Right.
Okay? So the Christians, which today are the ones sitting in front of football, in the TV watching football, or going to the modern Colosseums and watching baseball, football, soccer, you name it. Okay? Well, same thing. Back then, the Christians, that title of honor as a citizenship that was created called Christian was a legal status created within the Roman pagan system. So a Christian was a pagan in Rome.
Is this are you going to tie this into some kind of Roman civil law kind of thing?
Well, it's all Rome. I'll pull that up real quick, but, the true followers of Christ were the ones being thrown to the lions.
Right.
So they weren't controllable. They would not submit to the citizenship offered by Caesar. You can become a legal Christian. You can have a title of Christian. It's the same, honest.
Right, right. The state, when Constantine and his mother made it the state religion, and they just put a very thin veneer of biblical stuff on top of their pagan, you know, Babylonian mystery religion.
Think about what that means. A state, which means legal.
Yes.
Religion, which means spiritual.
Yeah.
Remember, you guys got to remember, legal means that which is opposed to God and nature.
Yeah.
So if you have a state.
I agree.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah. So wrap this up for, we're going to come up on a break here. And so what we're saying is that the Christian thing. The state is actually a church that's actually getting us to worship of false gods. Is that what you're saying?
Well, all churches, if I were to be probably as accurate as I could be, I would say that all denominations that call themselves Christian and all nations that call themselves a Christian nation, that's a reference to Roman paganism.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a Christian, what's the origin of Christian? Well, it's the Roman Church, right? So yeah, you're in a legalized religion, then you're in a religion that has a source which is opposed to God.
Okay, and then, okay, in 30 seconds, can you tell me Catholic?
Tell you what?
Catholic. Catholic has is another one of those convoluted words.
You know, I actually haven't looked up the word Catholic specifically, but obviously it's the Roman Catholic Church. So what's important about that is we've been Romanized.
Yes.
And this gets really interesting because when you understand what it is to be Romanized, we talked about Dog Latin being basically the Latin language, right? The Roman language, in other words. Well, to Romanize is to Latinize, to fill with Latin words or modes of speech, to convert to the Roman Catholic religion or to papistical opinions, to confirm the Romish opinions, customs, or modes of speech. To be Romanized is to be Latinized. What do we speak? We speak Dog Latin. Romanism is the tenets of the Church of Rome.
Yeah, you know, but the Pilgrims and the Puritans in particular were very opposed to Rome.
Right. Well, that's so what they were doing is they were setting up what was called congregational churches. In other words, the congregational church was the government.
Yeah, they didn't actually have churches. They just had meeting houses.
That's what they were called. Right. They were called congregational
meeting houses, right.
Basically. But that's why they set up government, because, again, these people couldn't be controlled. On a central level, they each had their own congregational church, basically. Church just means people. Okay, so church is not a building. Church is not a house. It's just the people who are part of that religious society. And those couldn't be controlled, and so that's why they wanted to create this United States, to have a centralized, legalized form of Christianity.
Stay with us. We're going to unravel this some more. Clint Richardson, Corporation Nation. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sacred Cow Barbecue. I'm delighted to be talking to my guest, Clint Richardson from the Corporation Nation on RBN. And he's got a couple of great blogs, Reality Blogger, .wordpress.com, and it's Blogger with 1G is one I'm reading. And Clint, tell us some other ones of you. You've got the CorporationNation.com. What else? Are you back with me yet? Okay, he'll be showing up here in a second. We'll get him back. But we're covering some really in-depth stuff about words and how they're words of art, or as he said, words of artifice, and what means something in legalese, means something completely else in English, and that's how we get tricked. And so, Clint, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Agency, well, we're going to talk about, you're going to simplify this down, because we're talking some in-depth stuff, and I'm going to have to listen to this show again.
Well, we've been jumping around, and, you know, I'll spend, sometimes on my show, honestly, I'll spend a whole hour on just one, maybe three different words, just to get the full spectrum of how it applies to everything else. It's very difficult to really get the foundational understanding of what each word means. A perfect example of that is the word confirmation. One of the most important words in law is confirmation. And what happens is that we are born. The word born, again, refers to the word nation. So we become... All right, so...
Is born different from birth?
Not necessarily. There's two ways to look at born. One is the birth process, and one is to carry. When you add an E to the end of the word born, it means to carry, and that's a commercial reference. So you're carrying paper, you're carrying cargo, that sort of thing. So to born something as a verb is to literally to carry or to be burdened by. And that's interesting because the word last, when we say the last name, which is the surname, last actually means burden. So we're burdened by the admixture of the Christian name with the state surname. Just like the religion gets canceled out when it's a state religion, that which is opposed to God, a legal religion, when we have a legal name, we're no longer protected by that negative aspect of law, which we call the natural law or the law of God. We become legal entities or considered by law as only legal entities. And this is very important because if you recall in the Constitution, it says that government shall respect no law regarding religion. I don't have the quote in front of me of what it actually says.
Right.
But that's very important because that means that the legal law is actually, it's like a it's like an invisible shield. You know, the legal law cannot touch religion. Hey, that's why you know religions are false when they're corporations under the state, because they're bound by the legal law. But the legal law is that which is opposed to God. Mm-hmm. So if you're a religious man, for instance, again, if you're a monk in a monastery, a good example, or a nun, you're not under that legal law. You've become a purely spiritual being under only that law of God. You're now a religious man or person. Person, again, just means status. Person never means man. And so the state can only recognize things that are legal. If it recognizes you as something that's religious, it cannot affect you. It has absolutely no power over you. This is why monasteries were so important, why monasteries were always neutral in all the wars. They're one of the few establishments that were never harmed during some of these battles. And you'd go there and you could have sanctuary. It used to be that you could have sanctuary in churches that were legitimately churches, mm-hmm. not corporations of the state. Today we have, you know, the United Methodist Church, which is a massive conference and corporation, but that's not a real church. It's false. You're not being spiritual according to law. So it's very important to know that the law cannot recognize or respect anything religious. It cannot pass a law restricting religious activity. It can only operate in the legal. Okay, and this is the importance in that dualistic nature of every single word, is that there's a natural term or term of nature, and there's a term of the law or the civil law.
But you said natural meant...
Right, but natural it's a dualistic term, remember. A term of nature is referring to God, but if your nature is to be a public person, then the nature is not capital, it's not a proper noun or a proper word. So it's a legal term. So even the word nature is taken from reality and made into a fiction. So every truth has a fiction. Okay, every word I say, you're going to have to actually distinguish between, am I talking about the legal version or am I talking about reality? And that's very difficult because you have to understand the legal meaning of words if you're going to understand why you're so harmed, why you're so entrapped in this system, because you literally think that you're talking in the language of love, in the language of emotion, in the language of reality, when in fact you're in a legal setting acting as a legal person, a legal entity, and therefore the only language you're allowed to speak is the legal language. In other words, the judge is not going to hear anything except that which is the term of art that you're supposed to be using, right? Just like the doctor expects the nurse to know the terms of art in the medical profession, right?
Okay, so, I'm in a court case right now, but... So what? This is what I say. So what? How does this apply to me and you? How does this apply to your daily life? How has this changed?
All right.
This information, what has this done for you?
Well, I mean, this for me, this was all, hey, I want to know what the truth is. I want to know what reality is. I don't want someone else's truth. I there's so many truths out there. Most of them are lies. Mm-hmm. But we confirm them as truths. In other words, we allow the lie to become our virtual reality, our false reality. So the word truth is also a very dangerous word. Reality never changes, but truth changes every day.
Well, I say very little of our reality is based on truth.
Well, yeah, like I said, an example would be God. If God exists, then what I think or what you think doesn't make any difference to into actual existence, right?
No, it doesn't, doesn't matter how sincere we are, we'll still be sincerely wrong if we've got the wrong information.
Right, and that's why the truth movement is dangerous, because,
you
know, I was part of 9/11 truth because I was there watching the damn thing. You know how many truths there are in the 9/11 truth movement? You know how many fights and bickerings and
people quitting are? Oh, my God. Well, that's how you can tell, because they always get infiltrated. Look at the vaccine movement. Get, green the vaccine. Green the vaccine, my ass.
Oh, geez. Well, that's how you know that the difference between reality and truth. Truth is only the perception of reality. Mm-hmm. Right? So if we can agree to that, we can say reality is that which exists and never changes, or, you know, history that, you know, no matter what we call history, real history is reality. What they teach in school is only the truth about history, which is a confirmed lie.
Right.
Well, okay. So let's go through the whole process. The birth certificate. The birth certificate is called the Matrix.
Right.
Okay, Matrix is the first draft or protocol of any legal instrument for which all copies must be taken. Again, you can look in Black's Law or most dictionaries and find that definition. Matrix also refers to the artificial womb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Matrix means womb,
right.
and it refers to the artificial womb. That's the notion of birth. It's like a second birth. And when we talk about the notion of being born again, you know, that
sure.
I hate all these words, all these Christian nomenclatures that turn people off when you try to talk to people about Christianity, because Christianity is absolutely ridiculous when as compared to what the Bible actually says. I love debating people because they go blank when you actually show them what's written in the Bible. I was sitting in church one day and I showed my mom the Lord's Prayer, and what it says is never say this prayer in groups. And she's just looked at me and kind of smiled and stood up and said the prayer.
Yeah.
Right. And that's cognitive dissonance. You can't do anything about that. Right.
Right.
So as far as the birth certificate goes, that is the birth certificate is this and only this. It is the creation and establishment of a legal entity. That's it.
Right. That's why you get your all caps name. That's how you get in the system.
Right. Well, what it really is a combination of your Christian name, your given name, which we would say is a gift of God, or your first name.
Right.
So when we talk about your first name, it's your origin. It's your first life. Right. And then we add a second life to that, which we call the surname. And the surname is the last name, which means superior or absolute. It means it's more powerful or higher than the first. It's the last thing we did. The last status that we put ourselves into, right? And so now you have a second life, and that's what we call the person or the status that's created by that legal entity, which is a reference to the birth certificate, the vital statistics that are then registered and turned into a legal entity. Now, the child, which is another legal term, the child is not bound in any way by that certificate. This is very important to know. The child has absolutely nothing to do with that birth certificate. Okay? And what's really interesting is we go through life.
What does child really mean? Is that talking about the physical?
Well, remember, every word has a dualistic meaning. There's
okay.
a child in nature.
You know, because I hear all these discussions, Clint, to be honest. I mean, every time you've got people that are into this, you get two gurus, you have three opinions.
Yeah, and I'm not here to give you my opinion, honestly. I'm here to tell you what the actual courts say.
Okay.
And what it turns out is that whatever the courts say is the law. You're going to have people that are going to disagree with me on that. They're going to just go crazy. But if you actually read the court cases, and I've covered these many times on my own show, the courts make the law. When the Congress makes a law, it sits there. It's inactive. It just does nothing until it reaches the courts, and the courts deliberate on that law and decide what it means, how it applies to each individual case, set a precedent. Then all of a sudden you have some tangible law. This is why it's so important. People say, well, why are you reading the dictionary? Why do you use so many dictionaries? Dictionaries are this, they're that. Well, actually, no. The dictionary is always a definition that's coming from, well, generally, unless it's a historical definition, but it's always a definition that's coming from the most recent precedent or court case. And that's so important because that's actually the law. Okay, whatever is written law is very, very, it's almost pointless. In fact, I really should read a couple of these just so we understand what the court says is law. And we can see that from the quotes of the Supreme Court justices themselves.
Okay, I got to know where we're going with this. What's our fine? Because it's hard to wrap my head around this. You know, I'm trying. So what are we going to tell people tonight? What are they going
to
get?
You have to first know what the court is. You have to understand what jurisdiction is, mm-hmm. and in order because otherwise you can't understand what agency is. Okay.
Okay.
So knowing that the court is the thing that is going to recognize you for whatever it is you're standing in front of it is. If you're standing in front of a court as a religious man, it can't do a damn thing against you, okay? Because it can't respect religion. It can't pass a law. It cannot be supreme over something that is supreme over it. So you appear only in person, mm-hmm. okay, in status, in legal status. Charles Evans Hughes was the 11th Chief Justice. What's that?
Or you make an appearance.
Right. And an appearance, it means that you're actually like a demon. Your person has been summoned, and because you are a surety for that person, you have to appear as the person, and that is agency, and we'll cover that in a second here.
Okay.
But Charles Evans Hughes, 11th Chief Justice, 44th United States Secretary of State, etc., he said, we are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the judges say it is, and the judiciary is the safeguard of our liberty and of our property under the constitution. Okay, James Bryce, who's actually a foreign secretary, we have seen that the American constitution has changed, is changing, and by the law of its existence must continue to change in its substance and practical working, even when its words remain the same. What's he telling you? He's saying, look, don't look at the Constitution as a set thing. The Constitution didn't do anything. It created the possibility for everything else. It didn't create a president. The president was created. It didn't create a judicial. The judicial was created after. Okay? This is John Marshall, 4th Chief Justice of the mm-hmm. Supreme Court. It is emphatically the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. Those who apply the rule to particular cases must of necessity expound and interpret that rule. If two laws conflict with each other, the courts must decide on the operation of each. Well, he also says the court must determine which of these conflicting rules governs the case if the law be in opposition to the Constitution. So we're all out here saying, well, that's unconstitutional. That's not a part of the constitutional law. Well, you're not under the constitutional law. This is why the court always says Constitution has no place in this court. This is an administrative court, not a judicial one. Administrative is opposed to judicial.
But then I read a lot of case law that talks about the Constitution. They talk about the Constitution in some case law.
Absolutely. Does that mean that whatever you're there for has anything to do with the Constitution? I mean, I can bring up 7-Eleven in court. I can bring up anything in court. Does that mean it has anything to do with the case?
No.
Right.
No.
So, of course, they're going to continue to say things. They're going to continue to put things in the cases that confuse and confound and make you think that you're still part, that you're part of the sovereignty. But you're not.
Yeah.
You're only a commercial entity. These are commercial courts, not judicial courts. Commercial courts are only administrative courts, and administrative means that which is opposed to judicial.
There are judicial courts, though, and they're like tribunals.
But we are not a party to the Constitution, and therefore we have no right to be in any kind of actual judicial court. It's very important to understand because we are operating solely in a public which means commercial capacity and no other. The Constitution was set up to protect private persons or private citizens. That's the status. And the big, big misconception is that a public person, which is the citizenship of the United States, that 14th Amendment citizen,
right,
is that a commoner can be a sovereign. That a 14th Amendment citizen is the same as the citizens that are private, which we call the landholders of each state. Okay? So
that's not true. Some people argue this 14th Amendment thing and saying that it didn't change us all to second-class citizens.
All right, I'll tell you exactly what it did.
Okay.
And I will quote Horace Greeley.
Greeley, okay.
Horace Greeley.
A friend of mine's a big fan of Joseph Story. Do you read any Joseph Story?
It's a lot of good information. He's quoted quite often in the legal dictionaries.
Right.
Here is what Horace Greeley, who was the founder of the New York Tribune, said, speaking on post-war Civil War citizenship. In other words, 14th Amendment or Reconstruction citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He said, "We have stricken the slave shackles from 4 million human beings and brought all laborers to a common level, not so much by the elevation of former slaves as by practically reducing the whole working population, white and black, to a condition of serfdom or feudalism."
Yep, I agree.
"While boasting of our noble deeds, we are careful to conceal the ugly fact that by an inequitous money system, we have nationalized a system of oppression which, though more refined, is not less cruel than the old system of chattel slavery." He's telling you, you got to understand, this guy's a private citizen. This guy is private. Okay, he is one of the actual bloodline of the original posterity. Posterity is a word that's used in the preamble. It means bloodline.
Right.
Okay? He is talking about how him and his private bloodline, the sovereignty of the United States, the citizens of each actual state, capitalized state, which means people, he's talking about how they're treating us. All of us, the black and the white and the whatever, Chinese.
We didn't free the slaves, we just enslaved everyone.
Right, and that's why they say emancipation means to set a slave at liberty, which means freedom, which means franchise.
Okay, you got to help me with this freedom thing.
Okay.
Okay, keep going.
It's
on
two
that.
Words. It's two words.
Uh-huh.
It's two words. Okay? Free and dom. When you add the word D-O-M to any word, it means dominion.
Right.
It means having dominion over the state of whatever it is. So kingdom, right, would
yep.
be the domain of a king. Well, if I give you freedom, I bestow it upon you, then I've given you free, which is franchise, and dom, which is my dominion over your franchise. It's like saying a rat in a cage is free. Yeah, he's free in the borders of the legal jurisdiction.
Oh.
So a slave that is free, in other words, in a franchise to choose his own profession, for instance,
mm-hmm.
is a much more useful and profitable slave than one that is in chains.
Oh, exactly.
So a slave in franchise, in other words, a free slave or a voluntary subject or involuntary servitude, because you got to understand the 13th Amendment, if you actually read what it says and you rearrange the words so that it actually makes sense, all it says is that voluntary slavery and servitude is legal, but involuntary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's like you can volunteer for your servitude, and we do all day long.
Right. So that's what the 14th Amendment was. It created a United States person, a property that was put upon, a burden that was put upon all, as Horace Greeley just said, elevation all laborers to a common level as the slaves. They reduced us to the level of slave, but they made it a voluntary contractual relationship. Okay, that's what citizenship.
When we're yelling about freedom, I mean, what should be liberty? Is liberty different from freedom?
Well, see, this is the problem, because we're trying to do it Patricia, everything stems from the fact that we're screaming for freedom and we're screaming for liberty without God. We cannot have it unless we're religious men. Man, again, is a term that means male or female.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. We cannot have liberty and freedom without God. And if you read the writings of the founding fathers, who are the quote-unquote sovereignty, you'll find that that's exactly what they said. They are men of God, at least they pretend to be. They act in a private capacity, and when they get involved in commerce, they open a trust, or they, when the guys from Enron, why didn't they get in trouble? Well, they were private citizens acting in a trust, and when the trust name got in trouble, they just abandoned the trust. They abandoned the name and stayed private. Okay? Like masonry, the masons, the judge that's a mason will never judge or rule on the cop that just killed somebody, or generally they won't, because they're protecting their brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings us back to the Constitution. What is the purpose of every nation? What is the purpose of every Constitution that's ever been written? People somehow think that our Constitution is somehow unique. All Constitutions are Masonic. They're all in an order. And if you look at the preamble, it says, "We the people." People is capitalized. "We the people in order." Order is capitalized, which only means that it can be a quote-unquote fraternal order, a association, in other words. It's masonry. All the founding fathers were masons.
Right.
Yeah,
George Washington there in his little apron.
Sure, sure. But I think one of them might not have been, and I'm not even sure about that.
Patrick Henry. When he saw the Constitution for the first time, and this could just be some patriot mythology, I don't know, but I've always read that he said, "I smell a rat," because it wasn't supposed to say "we the people," it was supposed to say "we the states."
What? Well, see, that's the misconception, though, is that people and state are different words. Okay, when I say state and I capitalize the word state, or when I say people and when I capitalize the word people, it means the same exact thing. What you have is dualism. You have each of the 50 states capitalized, and that means the actual bloodline cousins of the founding fathers, what the Constitution defines as the posterity or the white persons. If you look up white persons in the dictionaries, it's very clear that white doesn't mean Caucasian. It means Jew. It means all kinds of different things. But what it doesn't mean is Muslim or Chinese or certain other races. Okay, so it's a very blood oriented thing. The whole system of law is based on blood. A private citizen of the state, which we call constitutionally the people, they are recognized by blood. In other words, by their nature. A citizenship stands in attainder or a corruption of blood. Blood is one of the most important concepts in law. So if you are corrupted in blood, it means you cannot be an heir. You cannot have children that are heirs. Everything you do is illegitimate, including the children that you have. And that is the whole trick, because this whole thing, Patricia, is a land grab. The whole purpose of doing this whole birth certificate process, all it is common thievery. What they've done is they've tricked people into having illegitimate marriages and illegitimate births. They've tricked people into not claiming what's called paternity. Paternity comes from the word pater, which means father.
Yeah, that's why it's called a maternity ward, not a paternity.
Sure, and maternity only means nature. And so when it's really hard to explain, but when you are born and your mother is the informer on the birth certificate, that means that you're taking the status of the mother instead of the father. The mother is only maternal. And people won't like this, but the mother in a marriage, or the woman in a marriage, is always under the father. The kids are always under a father, because a legal marriage is a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you get divorced, a divorce is not an annulment, and the corporation continues, which is why the judge has so much power over the divorce, the children, and everything else, because the children are just wards of the state. That's what birth does. See, so the whole purpose of the birth certificate process is to trick the people who would otherwise be recognized as the posterity of the founding fathers, the posterity of who the founding fathers were representing in Congress, Continental Congress. The idea is to trick people into abandoning their child to the United States, which is the Washington, D.C., which is under Congress.
Yeah, I've heard Kurt Callinan. Am I saying his name? Kurt.
Kallenbach?
Yeah, Kurt Kallenbach. He does a really big thing on the birth certificate, and I've heard him do that about how you're abandoned at sea, you're lost at sea. You're saying that the actual child's been lost at sea and blah, blah, you know, that sort of thing.
Right, and you don't have to really go into all the – I mean, it's cool to, like, go into all of that. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that we are in a state of delivery, okay? The word delivery means abandonment, okay? So the child, when the mother informs on the child, you only inform on a criminal act, okay? So you're literally saying that the baby was born illegitimately in an illegitimate marriage and that it's a felon, okay? A felony, okay? So we're all felons, basically, and we're forgiven of our crimes, put into a franchise, and made to be voluntary slaves, all right? So from the birth process, you have abandoned your child, has become a ward of the state, and then something happens called filation, F-I-L-A-T-I-O-N, I think is how it's spelled, which means, is literally defined as the court forcing the actual father, because the state becomes the father, but the paternal father, but it forces the original or the natural father, a term of nature, to take his bastard child back and be responsible for it. So this is how we operate. We are literally the secondary guardians of our own children.
Right, and that's why the state can come in and take your children.
Yes, absolutely.
Birth certificate. So, you know, and I'll tell a story. A friend of mine has had friends, this is a secondhand story, and their children were taken by CPS. And the three of the kids had birth certificates, and the last one had been born at home, a home birth, and didn't have a birth certificate or Social Security number.
Oops.
So the next day, the state came back and said, oh, this one's not ours, and gave the youngest one back.
Absolutely, because they can only take the person.
Yeah, they follow the law pretty well.
Right. Well, the person is that which was created from the birth certificate for that creation of a legal entity. The child, because the mother and father have done this and gone through this process of registering the child, again, that means to tax, the reason they couldn't take that child is because no legal entity was ever created. They can only remember. So in other words, that's a religious child. It's a religious man. It has no legal foundation in law. And remember, the child is not bound in any way by the birth certificate. That entity cannot affect the child unless the parents concur and agree and consent to the fact that that child is that legal entity that they informed on and created that birth certificate.
Yes, I have friends that have children that they didn't get birth certificates for and slave numbers and things like that.
So the problem is that you don't have a lot of, you know, the child always follows the status of the child always follows the status of the parent. And unfortunately, we are in a status ourselves that we've been robbed of our blood, our inheritance, and so we cannot have heirs, we cannot have you know, children
they always ask, were your parents U.S. citizens on the
yes.
DS-11, the passport form? Were your
right.
parents U.S. citizens? That's an interesting question.
Yeah. Well, so here's how it works. Now, the child goes through his life until he reaches the age, what they call the age of consent, right?
Uh-huh.
In this country, what is it, 16, 18?
18.
And at that point, what are you called? What do you become at 18?
An adult.
An adult. What do you think that word comes from?
Oh, something adultery. Adultery.
Ah! So, you see, the child is basically innocent. Mm-hmm. But through culture, through custom, a child starts, you know, hey, I'm going to get a bank account. I'm 15 years old now. I can be responsible. And so you introduce them into the system of mammon, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going to get, oh, look, I'm going to sign up for the military. I'm going to become a potential soldier, which we call infantry.
Yep.
And if you look at the law, it says infants can join the military.
Right.
Because we're all infants.
Right.
And when we're birthed, we are actually referred to, and you can look this up, as infants of unknown parentage.
Uh-huh.
Because no one has claimed paternity, and therefore the state claims paternity and grants us beneficial use of the product or the issue of the marriage, the legal illegitimate marriage. It's really screwed up. So what happens is now the child has become accustomed to operating in that legal entity. Because we, of course, don't know any better. We don't teach him any of the stuff we're talking about. And eventually he becomes what's called an adult. Well, that is what we call confirmation, or ratification is another word. We have actually, because that birth certificate, that implied contractual relationship, has no bearing on the actual child. It becomes an express consent. In other words, the consent is garnered through the expression or the actions of the child as he signs the state name, the admixture, the surname, as he gets a social security number, as he starts writing checks and using the signature of the state, right? You actually confirming the contract. So it's making, and this is important, it's making what was voidable or avoidable, it's making it into something that's unavoidable. We've confirmed the contract. And so what happens is the child, yeah, he turns into an adult, but he's still an infant. What he's doing, because he's illiterate, basically, no matter how good a school you put him into, because he's speaking dog Latin, the second you become an illegal adult only means that you are in a state of legalized adultery. You are taking God's name, which is the Christian name, in vain, adding to it the state surname, and operating in a legal system, which means you're opposed to God and the natural law. That is the process that we go through in life, and we are tricked into living what is called an adulterous life. The marriage, the legal marriage, is a marriage not between man and man, or male and female. I don't like to use the word woman or human, because that means it's less than man.
Those are something different, right?
Right. So to a man and a male and a female man getting married, and that is an actual lawful wedlock. But the legal marriage is only the incorporation of two state surnames together, creating a new corporation. And the issue, which is a word they use in genealogical tables,
mm-hmm.
issue or product of that marriage or the product of the labor belongs to the corporation.
Well, that's in the feudal system that you had to get the lord of the manor's permission. If someone had a worker, you know, some of you were a serf, and then you had to get his permission to marry someone, and then the fruit of your union would belong to the lord of the manor.
And that's what they say about proles or plebes or the proletariat, is that they're so worthless. They're just cattle. The only thing they have to offer, the only wealth they have, is their children. And the children thus become part of the cattle, part of the herd. It's the only thing that the proles have to offer the elite is their children. And that's the system we're in. We're unaware of it, obviously. we relish in the benefits and protections that we get, but of course, protection requires subjection to the law.
Is there an escape hatch from this, in your opinion? There's a lot of people doing lots of different things.
Well,
working? Sovereign right now is a tremendously bad word in the media. A friend of mine this month was arrested for practicing medicine without a license, and
the only reason that happened is because she probably doesn't know that to declare that she's not practicing medicine, but actually utilizing science.
No, he did, but he's the media raked him over the coals. I haven't talked to him yet. I just found out the other day, but it was all over the news, and they were splashing, oh, he's a sovereign. He thinks he had a private contract with people, but somebody went and complained, and man,
that's really important, because you cannot be a public person, which means you cannot be a citizen of the United States.
He's not.
Well, yes, he is. That's the problem. A lot of people say they're not, but they are. A lot of people say, well, I'm a national, not a citizen. No, national means citizen. Sorry. A lot of people say that they're not. A lot of people just pretend or stop acting or throw away their license or whatever.
Oh, no, he went and...
You've got to understand.
Revoked
you have
everything.
You have no purpose for being in any of the 50 states united... The private states, unless you are a foreigner that has permission to be there for commercial purposes, which we call a U.S. citizen. You have absolutely no right to be in any of those geographical states unless you are one of the private people, which are the state, or you are allowed through agency to be commercially present in residence with your domicile in the United States in that state. No one can be private if they are purely public. Period. End of story.
Oh, geez. You know, I think I've listened to a lot of this and done a lot of reading, and I'm lost.
Let's talk about agency.
All right. We got about 10 minutes. Can you make it clear to me in 10 minutes? Simple.
Well, we can try. The simplest way to describe agency is the employer and employee relationship. An employer is the principal. The employee is the agent. And whoever the agent deals with on behalf of his principal is the third party.
Yes.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I understand agency that way.
Okay, well, the United States is the principal.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. citizen is an agent who has domicile in the United States, which is Washington, D.C.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and has residence only, which means it can't hold land. You're not actually part of the state. You're only there temporarily in a foreign capacity, because every state is foreign to each other.
Yes.
Including the United States to any state.
I'm with you.
So the United States citizen is acting in agency, and the state government is set up as the corporate entity that deals with foreign agents of the United States on behalf of the people of each state. We are not the people capitalized of each state capitalized. We are the common proles, the common plebes, the commercial entities that are foreigners that are temporarily residents in each of those states
under the state government,
which is not capitalized. So state, when not capitalized, is referential to the government, the legal government that is set up by the state, which is the people, the actual sovereign people of each state, which we call the landholders, the electors.
Right. Okay. Hold on. We got the all cap state.
Well, that's a patriotic. That's a patriot mythology. I'll be honest with you. All caps means absolutely nothing. They use that for distinction, but there's no requirement to use that. So.
Okay.
But I understand what you're getting at. Mm-hmm. But when you capitalize a word, you're creating it as a proper noun. Otherwise, it's only a noun, and it's more ambiguous, or it's, you know. So a state is a government, but a state capitalized is the people capitalized. It's a specific group of people according to the bloodline. The Constitution says very clearly, go read it in the preamble, the purpose of establishing this nation or this compact between peoples, between states, which are the capitalized words, okay? We, the people being capitalized, which means states, we, the people, in order. Order is capitalized. And then it says all this stuff. It says we establish and ordain. Establish is a term of law. Ordain is a term of religion.
Yep.
Okay, that's eminent domain. Eminent is religious. Domain is legal. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's a combination of church and state. So what does it say? It says we create this country for ourselves and our posterity. A certain group of people, which we will call the bloodline, the white persons who are establishing and ordaining this corporation as represented by the quote-unquote founding fathers, okay, create and establish and ordain a constitution for themselves, the signers, the representatives, and their posterity, in other words, bloodline. That's what posterity means.
Right.
Only white persons as specifically defined and who can prove their genealogical relationship, their family, their blood, because blood is everything in law and inheritance, who can prove their blood relation to those, not only the founding fathers, but the states that those founding fathers, the people those founding fathers represented. The legitimate people, not the laborers, not the slaves, none of that, right? And then the laborers and the slaves.
Okay, so is it possible to change your status back from being one of the slaves, from being one of the citizens, to being one of the people? Is that possible?
If you can, according to, I have interviews with a guy who did this, so this is firsthand information. Okay, what he did is he traced his genealogy. He got a family Bible. He recorded his family Bible. Spiritual is always higher than legal. Mm-hmm. So the family Bible will trump the birth certificate, in other words.
Right.
You have to introduce the Bible as your law because the state must know you're a religious man and what law you're following so that it knows that that law is superior to it. I've never met anybody that has had any success without a Bible in play and put into the registrar or whatever. Okay. And you have to get the court to recognize you as private. Okay. Not as public. Okay, the people, the word several, when we see the word several states of the union?
Yes.
Several means private. In other words, individual, separate from each other, private.
And then there's that legal word, severalty.
Exactly, that means private.
Okay.
Okay. So when we say the people that are the states, not the state government, but the actual people, not the citizenships, the actual people, we're talking about the private people. We're not talking about the public. Anyone that's a U.S. citizen is public. These people are not citizens of the United States. They created the United States. Well, their forefathers did.
Oh, yeah, I've heard people say that the Mexican Constitution, the Constitution of Mexico, makes a very clear delineation that the people own the government and the government owns the citizens.
Exactly. Every nation is the same. It's just that ours deals in commerce, in trickery, in word.
And so how did we get to thinking that we were the people?
Because a slave that believes he is free is much more valuable and productive than one that knows and can see the chains around his leg.
Yeah, exactly. That's on Do you ever read an article called Brave New Denmark?
No.
Look it up. It's a great article. You can find it on Rents. Somebody wrote it, and I think you'll appreciate it. Clint, we're coming up on you've blown my mind. I'm finally getting somewhere, and I can't wait for you. I got to read your book. When's it going to be done?
Well, it's very long. It's literally a dictionary, but it's me explaining as many of the words as I possibly can in between words. So it's literally a walkthrough through the legal language, through the romanization of our language, of ourselves. So it's I've got about 400 pages that are absolutely done and ready to go. I've probably got another 700 or 800 pages that I still need to organize. It's mostly done. I just have to organize it and get it together.
What's the website?
It's Strawman Story. .com. It's called Straw Man, the real story of your artificial person. But strawmanstory.info is the actual website.
Strawmanstory.info. Okay, got
info,
it.
Info is the only website you can get that's not commercial. .com means commercial.
Right.
So just info.
Commerce.
But, it's going to be free. Okay, I'm not doing this to make money, although I'm going to, if anybody wants it, I will certainly make, get it published. And, I'm not getting it published because published means to make public. I'm keeping it private, and so I will give it away for gifts. In exchange for a gift, I will give it as a gift is how it works. But it's going to be free. I'm not going to charge for it.
So is this a real remedy for people? Do you see a remedy here?
And see, this is what drives me nuts is these words. Remedy is something that you can only have within the system. I'm saying get out of the system.
Okay.
Do not any longer be part of the United States.
Yeah.
Be part of the states. Not the United States. United States is just Washington, D.C. and the jurisdiction that covers all the states if you're one of its members. That's called solution.
Okay, remedy, I see our country is going down so fast and the world so fast. Do we have time to turn it around with this kind of information?
It's a very large learning curve, obviously. Once you get it under your belt, it's so obvious and so self-evident that you kick yourself for not knowing it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get this done as fast as I can, and I think it'll really, really.
I'm cracking the whip here.
Yeah, I'm spending all day every day on it. That's why I cut down my show to 3 days a week too. Yeah.
Let people know where they can hear you over on RBN.
Oh, Republic Broadcasting. Yeah, republicbroadcasting.org. Seven to nine Eastern would be the easiest way to say it. Seven to nine Eastern.
Okay.
Monday through Wednesday now only.
Oh, Monday too. Yeah, I thought you had more shows, so I was kind of shocked when I looked at.
I was like, I gotta. It's so hard to do a good show, a research show, and also do this book. So I'm like, I gotta get this done. So, I'm truly in it to win it, and like I said, I'm not. I don't care about your opinions. I don't care about my opinions. If you want to know how it is, this is how it is. If you want to argue against it, go ahead, argue against it. But you're arguing against source. You're not arguing against me.
What's your goal?
There's no point in me going through this process or my friend KW who went through this process that I now understand, which is, again, to go private instead of public.
Yes.
To get out of the United States, which we call solution.
Mm-hmm.
Solution means end of contract. Remedy means, here's some money for your troubles.
Mm.
Okay, so solution is what you should be looking for.
Okay.
And anybody that asks you for solutions, it only means one thing in law, which is end of contract, end of the contractual relationship. So
that's almost dissolution.
Same thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they call that annulment is another word for that for marriage. But yeah, like I said, it's
and how is your friend KW? How are they being treated by the officers
It's a wonderful story. If you'd like to do this again, I can tell you about it. Or people can listen to my archives. If they just type in KW, they can find all our interviews. But you basically choose a new name. You lose the surname. You only go by your Christian name, and you are recognized as private by the court. The important thing is to get the court to recognize you as private, not to tell the court, not to say, hey, court, I'm a man. That's all bull.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got to get the court to recognize you.
Okay, 1 minute. Corporation Soul.
That's what the Pope is. That's what Ron Paul is. That's what the bishops are. That's what the Mormon Church is. It's the corporation of the president of the Mormon Church. Corporation Soul, that's what the Queen is, whatever place she goes.
Can you and I be a Corporation Soul?
It's an option, but I the more I look into that, the more I think it's not the path I would want, because I want to be free.
Yeah.
In the natural sense, I want to be free under God and under God's law and do no harm and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that puts me necessarily back into some legal consideration, which I don't want to be. Okay. I want to be free of the money system. I want to be free of the legal system. I want to be free, period, end of story, without anything attached to my name, no numbers, no marks, no signs, no sigils, no symbols, nothing. I want to be a religious man.
If you were in a community like this, say you were able to get a county or something that was land patents and stuff, and you could set something like this up, is it?
That's the idea. That's why I'm trying to get this book done and spread the information, because what's the point of me doing this if I'm alone? And no, you're not going to fix the system. You're not going to fix your city, your county. These are all legal entities, and you're trying to stay as far away as possible from anything that's already established, any legal thing, any church, any religion. You're getting away from that. That's the whole point. Right. Stop putting your faith in anything but God. That's it. Mm-hmm. And if you understand that, you know that means putting your faith in nature.
Oh, I get it. I want to know more about who this God is.
Well, Jehovah seems to be the best definition that I've found. And again, if you go to Webster's 1828, God is a verb. Okay, God is not a man. God is not a person. God, it's not an anthropomorphization. It's not an animal. It's not God is a verb. It's everything that is in existence. It is reality. It's everything that's happening right now. That's
people say source. People say source. That would be it.
But it's important not to put a name on it. That's why they never said it. It's a verb. It's an action. It's everything that is in reality. But we're all stuck in fiction. We're all stuck in artificial things. So worshiping reality is all you're really doing. Nature. What is nature? Well, the creator. You can't have creation without a creator. You can't have legal law. You can't have darkness without light. You can't have evil without good. You can't have any of this stuff. So you can't have legal law unless it's opposed to something. So what's it opposed to? It's opposed to God and nature.
Perfect ending. Wow, great timing. Your radio host stuff just kicked right in there. Clint Richardson, thank you so much tonight.
All right, thanks, Patricia.
It's a barbecue. Appreciate it, man.
Take care.